endless colored ways. Go play the game that you learned from the morning. And now we rise, we are everywhere. See the sights, the endless summer nights. Go play the game that you learned from the morning.
Thank you. might not get any better. Might not get yet. Might not get any better.
This is Elliot Trahan. You're listening to 91.5 WMFO Medford Tufts Freeform Radio. Welcome to the inaugural show of Not Pandas. What do we talk about here? Well, it sure isn't pandas. All right. So I'm here with my roommate, Ji Yang. He's a hell of a guy. Real music nerd like myself. And today we're going to talk about music that makes us, I don't know, that moves us. And so take it away, Ji Yang. Just talk about music that you want the world to hear.
Cool. So today we will be listening to Ravel's Piano Concerto for the Left Hand. So Ravel was a French composer around the same time as Debussy, so he was an Impressionist. And the two were really well-known
composers. Hold on. Start over, Ji Yang. I had had the wrong mic turned up. Welcome, Jiang.
So, today we'll be listening to Ravel's Piano Concerto for the Left Hand. Ravel was a French composer around the late 19th century, earlier 20th century, around the same time period as Debussy, so both of them were considered impressionists. He composed this concerto for the Austrian pianist Paul Wittgenstein, who lost his arm during World War I. And this is the most famous out of all of the Wittgenstein commissions. Although it was written for a pianist with only their left hand, it's become a very popular showpiece for pianists even today because of its technical challenges and its incredible ability to create multiple voices on top of each other, even though the pianist is only supposed to be playing this with one hand. It premiered in 1932, and it is musically interesting because it has three movements, but it's played all attacca, so it's all attached. So it sounds as if it's in one movement. It has a three-part structure, slow, fast, slow, instead of the usual fast, slow, fast. So, yeah.
Nice, very good. You ready to give it a listen?
Yep.
All right, let's hear it. Thanks, Ji-Ying. That was incredible. I'm not a classical geek like yourself, but I really enjoyed that.
Glad to hear it. Thank you for having me on the show.
Awesome. See you later, man. So, as we say goodbye to Ji-Ying, we have a quick public service announcement about everybody's favorite topic, organ donation. There are many social networking websites, but one stands apart for a very special reason. This one saves lives. It's MatchingDonors.com. MatchingDonors.com links organ donors with people in need of kidney and other transplants. In the U.S., 19 people die each day waiting for an organ transplant, most of them for kidneys. If you've ever considered becoming a living organ donor, or if you are someone in need of an organ transplant, visit MatchingDonors.com, home to the greatest gift of all, the gift of life. All right, moving on. Now that Ji-Yang has left, I'll talk about a song that I'm really thinking about a lot these days. It's by a band from my home state of Texas called Snarky Puppy. A lot of fellow music nerds also enjoy this band. They teamed up in 2015 with a Danish orchestra, of all things, to create an incredible album called Silva. I'd recommend it to anybody. It's just, wow, what a masterpiece. Where do I even start? They record it in this huge, beautiful hall. They all wear these white robes, and just seeing them putting something together with, like, I don't know how many people in the orchestra, but I think it's 50 people total at least in this one room, all of them playing ridiculously complicated music. Just, wow. But this particular one, The Curtain, is a 15-minute song. Starts out with, like, a nice, quiet orchestral section, and just kind of, like, immediately hammers in. And then it goes to what some people have described as elevator music, but I think that, is one understatement for sure. Starts out in like a section in 5-4 that's just really nice and light and just super groovy and cool, kind of got a Latin groove to it. And then it goes down into a little solo section, brings back up into a more like modern hip-hop beat. It's just got everything, man. You just gotta check it out. So, for the ride of a lifetime, tune in to The Curtain by Snarky Puppy. Get ready, y'all. Thank you. All right. Hope y'all enjoyed that. Next song is by my favorite band, or one of my favorite bands of all time, Yes. They're mostly from the 70s, progressive rock band, best known for their song Owner of a Lonely Heart, but I'd skip that song. It's kind of their sellout song. Anyway, they're part of a group of bands, including like Pink Floyd and Genesis, that starting in the early 70s, defined this new genre of music called progressive rock, which for most people who don't know what it is, and that's okay, it's kind of an obscure genre of music that kind of lived for a little bit and died out. It's basically rock and roll, but mixed with classical music and jazz music that often goes on long song forms that are very atypical, not really any choruses, feature instrumentalists over vocalists typically, and just go on these long either jams or sections that just don't sound like any genre of music that, I don't know, it's hard for people to put a label on it really because it's just usually weird. And the song I'm going to play every day is like, it comes from the late 60s when Yes was just starting out, kind of like right before progressive rock really took off. And it was, I think it's a cool moment in time for me because you can see that they're starting to play around with doing things that weren't just straight up 4/4 rock and roll. But they weren't quite there yet with their huge suites. And so it's a shorter song, but you can see Yes is already starting to play around with all these different things, which makes it a really cool song. So, hope you all enjoy Every Days by Yes.
your fear, getting it out of second gear. Well, 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 another day. Well, 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 another day. Well, 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 another day. Well, 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 another
Cool. You're listening to 91.5 WMFO Medford Tufts Freeform Radio. I'm still here. We're going to listen to one more song with me. We're going to switch from this progressive rock band to 50s pop band Beach Boys. I'm going to play my favorite song by them. It's called Little Bird. It's off one of their later albums that nobody's ever heard of. Kind of after their lead singer went off in a weird phase where he just went off and wrote, or not lead singer, lead songwriter, went off and did things that he liked versus what the radio company wanted him to do. So that's a pretty cool tune. Way different than anything else you've heard from the Beach Boys. Still got their cool harmonies, but used in a lot different ways than songs like Surfer Girl or In My Room. And one thing that I really think people should pay attention to is the bass line. Because it just kind of, at least for the first few bars, it just holds the same note, which is kind of unusual, but it gives it a cool effect. So, without further ado, Little Bird by the Beach Boys.
Little bird up in a tree looked down and sang a song to me of how it began.
Folks, that's it. I'll see y'all in 2 weeks for some more snazzy tunes by with snazzy people.
I was thinking there was something. Maybe something that I'd say, and I could go on for hours and hours, going through the details in my head. And I was looking around. walking for hours.